Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Andrew Friedman had his after the season press conference with some interesting things to say about Clayton Kershaw, next year's starting rotation, and free agency in general. We'll touch on all of that. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Game two of the World Series was last night. I didn't watch a single minute of it. I had a Halloween party with my family in the neighborhood, and you know what? That was more enjoyable to me. I believe the Astros won the game. I know they were up big last I saw. I haven't even checked the final score, but assuming the Astros won, that means we'll get at least to five games, and you know, it'll be interesting. So a friend of mine mentioned tonight, it'll be kind of funny if the Braves were to win the World Series in five games. That would mean Rob Manfred down on the field at Truist Park, giving the trophy, handing the trophy out in the stadium that he just a few months ago stripped the All-Star game from. I'm not going to get into politics here, of course, but you know, it seems like that would be uncomfortable for just about everybody. So, you know, anything that makes Rob Manfred uncomfortable, I guess I'm in favor of. And if it makes Astros fans sad, all the better. So, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Andrew Friedman's after the season press conference, where he talked about a lot of things and nothing kind of at the same time. You know, he said, he definitely said a lot of words, and there might be a few things we know a little bit more about than we did before he started talking. Not a ton, but enough. And I want to start off with Clayton Kershaw, partly because Clayton Kershaw, as you guys know, if you're regular listeners or viewers, he is my favorite player of all time. He has surpassed all the other guys. I've named my sons after three Hall of Fame baseball players, and Clayton Kershaw has passed all of them for me. He's my favorite, and I want him to finish his career as a Dodger. And it sounded kind of like Andrew Friedman does too. What he said, Juan Toribio tweeted out, he said, "I asked Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, if they'll treat Clayton Kershaw different than some other impending free agents in the past, given what he means to the organization." Friedman's answer, and I'll read the whole quote. He said, "Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously what he's meant to this organization, to this city, I think, again, from his standpoint, I think it's all about what makes more sense for him and Ellen and their family. You know, I think taking off my president of baseball operations hat, there's something nostalgic and great about Kersh playing with one team and being able to win another championship and having a parade. That being said, he's put himself in this position to go out and do whatever makes the most sense for his family, and we will support that." So you can see what I mean. That was kind of a non-answer, but also it tells you, you know, the Dodgers are definitely interested in having Clayton Kershaw back. It sounds like if Kershaw wants to be back with the Dodgers, they'll make it happen. You have to assume that whatever happens, they're going to, I can't imagine that Clayton Kershaw is going to expect to make $33 million next year. I think given his injury history, his current injury situation, you know, if he resigns with the Dodgers, I assume it will be for less, and, you know, maybe a lower base salary with some incentives so that he can make a lot of money if he pitches well. You know, it's hard to know. We don't really know these players. We see what we see, you know, what we know of Kershaw, we love, but, you know, you don't know what motivates him and if he would see it as a slap in the face to get an incentive laden contract. I don't know. It's tough to tell, but I think that's probably the best approach. And I think wherever Kershaw signs, that's probably what it's going to be. I doubt anybody's going to throw a ton of money at him given his current situation. And so really it's going to boil down to, does he want to be a Dodger? And it's hard for me to imagine. Everybody says, well, the Rangers are his hometown team. You know, he might want to go there. And I just have a hard time seeing Clayton Kershaw wanting to go play on a bad team. You know, he's been spoiled. 11 of his 14 years in the major leagues, he's made the postseason. If he wanted to just go be closer to home, I think he'd retire before he'd go play with the Rangers. Like, it's, I don't know. And then somebody said, well, the Astros are in Texas too, but it's like, realistically, practically speaking, Houston's no closer to Kershaw's home in Dallas than Los Angeles is, because it's still, you know, maybe Ellen and the kids get to a couple more games during the season if they're in Houston, because they can do the 6-hour drive. But realistically, it's not that much. I mean, they're going to be flying somewhere anyway. And so it's not that big a deal. So I don't think Houston makes sense. So really it's the Rangers or the Dodgers. And I have a hard time seeing him wanting to play for a bad team. And I have a hard time seeing the Rangers not being a bad team. And so seems like Kershaw's going to be back. And obviously I'm in favor of that. I think he's going to have to be realistic about his role. I don't think he's going to be the Dodgers number one or even number two or three starter. You know, I think it's going to be a situation where, and you know, that's where the incentives come in, where you can sign him. I've made the comparison before of after the 2016 season, when they re-signed Rich Hill, and basically it was an $18 million a year contract. And what Andrew Friedman said at the time was basically like, we think of him as closer to a $30 million a year pitcher, but we don't expect him to make a full slate of starts, you know? And so basically the Dodgers were paying for 60% of a $30 million a year pitcher. And that comes out to $18 million. And I could see them doing something similar with Kershaw, where, you know what, we expect to get a good 50 to 60% of a season out of Kershaw. And beyond that, anything's a bonus. And so we'll, our base salary, we'll base it on that 50 or 60%. And then anything else is comes in incentives or whatever. Hey, that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, Friedman did, he was asked a couple times about, you know, pending or looming labor issues, if they're going to try to get free agents signed before any potential lockout or whatever, before the new CBA is agreed upon, all of that. And he basically said, we're kind of leaving that up to the players. If the players want to engage right now, we're happy to do it. And if they want to wait, we will do that too. And so it does seem like they're kind of going to let these players take lead. In our third segment today, we're going to talk specifically about who these other free agents are besides Kershaw, and you know, some thoughts on each of them. And actually, the next segment, I'm going to talk about the Dodgers starting rotation for next year, because Friedman had some interesting stuff to say about that. So where Kershaw fits in that and all that, it'll be interesting to see. I have some thoughts on that. So in fact, that's a good place to take a break right here. I do want to thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I appreciate that. And like I said, I'll be back in a minute to talk about the starting rotation for next year. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. So the other day, my wife's car needed new windshield wiper blades because the ones she had weren't properly removing the water from the windshield, which is the point of a windshield wiper. And unfortunately, I let it go too long. I waited until it was kind of an emergency situation. It was raining and I had her car. And so I had to stop at an auto parts store and buy wiper blades. And I spent $23 per blade at the auto parts store. And so I thought, you know, when I was getting ready to record this episode, I thought, I wonder how much I would have paid if I had had the foresight to actually think ahead and order these on rockauto.com. Well, I'll tell you what, they range from $2.43 each to $7.13 each. So even if I wanted to break the bank and go with the best one Rock Auto has, it would have cost me less than a third of what I paid. That's the kind of deal you get at Rock Auto. And I had to go into an auto parts store. Ew. I don't ever want to do that again. So I'm going to plan ahead next time. I'm going to go to Rock Auto because it makes sense. It's more convenient and it saves you a lot of money. So I could have saved myself, what's that? So $32 on two wiper blades last week. Instead, I paid the dummy tax by having to go to the auto parts store. You're not a dummy. Don't pay the dummy packs. Go to dummy tax. Go to rockauto.com. They have all the, you know, every kind of make and model of car. You find your make and model, they will list all the parts that they have for your car. Boom. Easy peasy. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right. So one of the, another interesting thing that Andrew Friedman had to say in the, his press conference, he was talking about the starting rotation for next year, and he was listing out a few guys who are going to be in the mix. And he mentioned Mitch White and Andre Jackson, who both made some starts for the Dodgers this year. But he also mentioned three minor league guys, Bobby Miller, Landon Knack, and Ryan Pepio. Friend of the show, former guest, Ryan Pepio, hopefully future guest, Andre Jackson. And, you know, hopefully we get all these guys on, but I've got some things in the works with some of those guys. So, you know, and it got me thinking about the rotation in general, because, you know, we saw Mitch White, he pitched well at times this year. Andre Jackson definitely showed some potential. And it's easy to forget that every pitcher is like this when they come up. You know, you're always, hardly anybody comes up and just dominates right away. And so you have these hits and misses with these guys. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I remember Walker Buehler as a rookie. I remember watching him give up a grand slam to the Rockies in relief. And, you know, within a year of that, he was a dominant starting pitcher. And so, you know, who knows? All these guys have pretty darn good stuff. And I think we're going to see all five of these guys at some point next year in the big leagues. And so I started thinking, well, what does that mean for Tony Gonsolin? What does it mean for David Price? You know, David Price, it's starting to, it's hard to see a fit for him on this Dodgers roster. I don't know if there's going to be a trade partner really available for a guy. You know, the Dodgers are only paying him $15 million a year. And, you know, maybe there's a team that would be willing to take half of that. And so maybe the Dodgers pay $7.5 million for him to go away and somebody else takes him to be a fifth starter or whatever, to provide some veteran leadership. You know, and Price has done that part, the veteran leadership part. He's done it. You know, before he ever played a game for the Dodgers, he was giving money to Dodgers minor leaguers during COVID to help them survive. You know, he's a great dude. Like, there's no two ways about it. David Price is a good guy to have on your team from a leadership standpoint. But when we're talking about an actual roster spot, I don't know that he has anything to offer a team that hopes to win the World Series. We've seen that his stuff doesn't play up in relief, and I don't think he is good enough to be in a starting rotation on a team that plans to win the World Series. And so, you know, assuming Kershaw comes back, you've got him and Buehler and Julio locked into rotation spots. So that leaves two more spots. You know, Scherzer is a free agent. A lot of people view the Dodgers as the favorite to sign him. He's going to be a really interesting case. You know, I'll talk about him in the next segment when I'm talking about all the other free agents, but, you know, that's a possibility for a rotation spot. If Scherzer came back, you've got one spot left, or maybe two. If I've kicked around the idea, I wonder if they might go with a six-man rotation for at least part of the season when you've got Buehler and Julio both coming off, you know, career highs in innings pitched. You've got older guys like Kershaw and Scherzer who, you know, could probably stand the rest. And we saw in this postseason that Max Scherzer, when he's good, he's as good as he's ever been, but maybe he's not the same guy he used to be when he was younger as far as durability goes. So maybe a six-man rotation helps him too. And so maybe you do have an opportunity to bounce some of these guys in and out of the rotation and go with a six-man rotation. I wouldn't mind seeing them do a six-man rotation for the full season, you know, not have anybody throw more than 28 starts or so and just kind of keep everybody's arm fresh and go that way. I don't know if they will, but I think it's something worth thinking about, especially with kind of the wealth of minor league pitching talent that they're going to want to start getting experience in the big league. Some of these guys are, you know, coming up on Rule 5 eligibility anyway, so they're going to have to be on the 40-man roster anyway. And so maybe you start getting them in there. That, you know, makes a place for Tony Gonsolin. So, you know, just spitballing, if you have a rotation of Buehler, Julio, Kershaw, Scherzer, Gonsolin, and then a sixth spot where you're rotating, you know, White, Jackson, Miller, Knack, and Pepio, you know, in and out of that spot, I'd love to see something like that. And, you know, one thing I've learned over the years is that any ideas I come up with in October, by the time March rolls around and it's spring training, it looks nothing like what I came up with. And it's generally better because, let's face it, Andrew Friedman is better at being a Dodgers general manager than I am. And so I'm not saying he's infallible, but I pretty much trust Andrew Friedman to put together a good team. And I'm interested to see what happens, but that's kind of, that would be where I would lean right now would be doing a six-man rotation and kind of balancing out with, you know, dominant pitchers right now. You know, Buehler and Julio can be dominant right now. Some veteran guys who can still pitch well, like Kershaw and Scherzer, and then some younger guys like Gonsolin and those other five guys filling out those last two spots. And I think that would be a good approach all in all, when we're just coming off a postseason where basically the Dodgers, they just got worn out. And after having a regular season where they got worn out, their depth was really tested. They had to go bullpen games and everything. You can never have too much starting pitching. That's one thing we learned and relearned and learned again this year. And I think Andrew Friedman probably learned it too. So we'll see what his approach is. But I thought that was interesting. It's definitely on his radar. And even though he wouldn't specifically say, it seems like the starting rotation is definitely one of the big things that he is looking into this offseason. So last thing with the offseason is the free agents. The Dodgers have, I think, 11 free agents right now. And so I'm going to come back in a minute to talk about each of those guys in some detail, some more than others. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We appreciate it. We love talking to you every weekday morning. And I'll be back to talk about the pending free agents. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so we're back. One last segment. We're going to talk about the free agents that the Dodgers have. You know, Friedman didn't really go into specifics on what the payroll would be. He kind of hemmed and hawed about that question. Talked about how some years it's higher and some years it's lower. And, you know, basically said a lot of words to say nothing. And essentially refused to lay out his offseason plans to the media, which I'm totally fine with. I don't need a general manager to tell the media, here is what I'm going to do. I've always been more interested in what Friedman does than what he says. And most of the time, what he does is pretty good. So, but it leaves a lot of guessing on our part. And so, like I said, the Dodgers have 11 free agents, plus a couple other potential free agents. The free agents, alphabetically by last name, Danny Duffy, Cole Hamels, Kenley Jansen, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Knebel, Jimmy Nelson, Albert Pujols, Max Scherzer, Corey Seager, Steven Souza Jr., and Chris Taylor. So I'm going to go through each of those guys, except for Kershaw. I've already talked about my thoughts on Kershaw, and we'll go through those. Danny Duffy is an interesting one because he's a guy who could fill in that rotation. You know, if we're talking about, you know, if they don't re-sign Scherzer, or even if they do, you know, knowing injury history and everything with all these guys, especially some of the older guys, knowing that you might want to give these guys a break for a couple weeks, definitely couldn't hurt to have Danny Duffy. He was really good when he was healthy in 2021. And so, you know, he grew up a Dodger fan, I think I remember hearing, and he didn't get a chance to play for the Dodgers this year, but you have to imagine that being this close, he's probably interested in coming back to the Dodgers. And I think the Dodgers would be very interested in bringing him back on the right deal. The next one is Cole Hamels, who same thing as Danny Duffy, except it's hard to see him actually pitching for the Dodgers or really for anybody next year. I guess if Cole Hamels is really driven to play next year, maybe he feels some obligation since the Dodgers just gave him some free money this year and then he didn't do anything. But it's hard to see. I don't know. I don't really see Hamels playing a role on the Dodgers next year. I could be wrong. Maybe they sign him, but it doesn't seem likely to me. Kenley Jansen is a really interesting one because Kenley pitched really, really well in the postseason and probably made himself a lot of money. And there are going to be teams looking for a proven closer. And the way Kenley is pitching right now, he could be that guy. You know, there was a lot of talk, you know, we talked about it all season, and the national broadcasters kind of talked way too much about it, maybe about how Kenley now throws more than just the cutter. Kenley's still more than just a cutter for a couple of years, but this year was definitely a step up in really trusting all the pitches, having a four pitch mix, at least three pitches where, you know, he could throw a lot of different pitches in any situation. And other than a big, you know, a three game hiccup in the middle of the season, Kenley was pretty dominant all year. And Kenley, like I've said a few times, his stuff at times is as good as ever. His command at times is as good as ever. Back when he was the best closer in baseball, he had the great stuff and the great command pretty much all the time. And so when he still has, when he has those two things at the same time, he's just as dominant as ever. The thing is, he doesn't always have both of those things. We saw earlier in the season, his command was pretty bad. He walked a lot of guys, you know, a lot of issues there. Sometimes the stuff just wasn't there. And so he's more hit and miss than he's been in the past. I have to think Kenley would like to come back to the Dodgers. He's already come back to them once as a free agent, and maybe, depending on who you believe, maybe took less than he could have gotten elsewhere. And maybe he's willing to do that again. It's going to come down to, and this is one thing Friedman mentioned kind of in general, not with Kenley specifically, but with a lot of these guys, just in general, they got to do what's best for their family. And, Friedman said they've earned the right to be free agents and to test the market. And so Kenley's one of those guys who he's earned that right to go out and see. And, you know, are the Phillies going to want to throw stupid money at him? Or, you know, is there going to be some team that says, you know what, we need a closer and Kenley Jansen's a proven closer, and so we're going to pay him a ton of money? And if so, Kenley might leave. The Dodgers are the only organization Kenley has ever known, so maybe not. But, you know, it's definitely a possibility. I would love to have Kenley back under the right situation, under the right scenario. It would have to be, you know, I think Kenley, maybe we saw he's maybe a little bit more willing to accept not being the closer and being just part of a dominant bullpen, but he's also been basically the closer for 10 years now and probably likes that role. And so that's going to be one of the most interesting ones to me, because I do think the Dodgers would like to have him back, but there's definitely a at the right price. Whereas Kershaw, you know, they're willing to get sentimental. I don't think they will get quite as sentimental with Kenley Jansen. Then you got Corey Knebel. Corey Knebel, I definitely want back. Corey Knebel has great stuff. I think he has enjoyed being a Dodger, and I love having him in the Dodgers bullpen. When he's healthy, he is dominant. That curveball is great, and he pairs it with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. He has got really good stuff and really, really could do some amazing things, and I'd love to have him back. Jimmy Nelson, I don't know if he's even going to pitch at all next year, and so, you know, I guess I could see them going with the route they went with Tommy Kahnle this year, where they signed Kahnle to a 2-year contract, knowing he wouldn't pitch much, if at all, in the first season of the contract. Maybe they do that with Jimmy Nelson. They've already had 1.5 wasted years with Jimmy Nelson, but he was really, really good when he was healthy again. And so the Dodgers, more than a lot of teams, might be in position to say, you know what, we want you. We're willing to throw away some of this money, and even just from a purely practical luxury tax standpoint, signing a guy for 2 years, knowing he's only going to pitch for one, means you're basically splitting 1 year of money across 2 years. So it's a lower luxury tax hit, all of that. So Jimmy Nelson, he's not going to be a factor in 2022, I don't think, but I could see them re-signing him. Albert Pujols is, I just don't see a role for him on the Dodgers. Even if there is a DH, it's hard to see. I've loved having Pujols in the dugout. And he had some big hits for the Dodgers this year. Vince and I have mentioned this. Every time Pujols did come through, I was a little bit surprised, because he looks really bad up there sometimes. And so I think he's more of a mistake hitter right now. Like, and just mistakes from lefties for the most part, like gets a mistake from a lefty, he can hit it. But we saw in that big seventh inning in game 6 in the NLCS where he struck out against Matzik. And that was a swing that we've seen Pujols take a lot this year, where he just gets fooled by the off-speed pitch from a left-hander. It's at his back ankle and he swings at it. I actually looked it up, and there were like 15 of those this year where he just totally got fooled by an off-speed pitch from a left-hander. And so, you know, Pujols says he wants to play, or at least, you know, he hasn't said, but people say he wants to play. There's been talk about him returning to the Cardinals. I guess if the new CBA involved expanded rosters. I could see maybe a spot for him on the Dodgers if they went to 28 man rosters or something, and the universal DH. But other than that, it's hard to see him coming back. And one of the big things with him is going to be, he's been making $30 million a year for the last 12 years, and he's not going to make anywhere near that next year. And is he still got, you know, part of the reason that he was such a boon for the Dodgers this year was that they were only paying him the prorated league minimum. The Angels were paying most of his salary. And so, you know, is it something that he, when he comes back, is he going to be willing to pay for play for $1 million or even less? Because if not, he's probably not worth it. And so I don't expect to see Pujols back in a Dodger uniform unless the CBA really opens up the roster a little bit. Max Scherzer, you know, we've talked some about at different times. It's going to be a really interesting case because he's going to be coming off of possibly a Cy Young award winning season, definitely a top three finish in the Cy Young voting. And yet the last memory we will have of him is him not pitching because he couldn't recover from a 13 pitch relief outing. And that, you know, goes back to what I was saying about how when he's good, he's as good as ever, but he may not have the stamina that he used to have and the bounce back power. And that's something that, you know, if he's looking for that, there's been rumors that he's going to be looking for a Trevor Bauer like record contract. And it's hard to see him getting that. And you know, hopefully he doesn't burn bridges with the Dodgers too early. But, you know, if Scherzer wants to pitch for 20 to 25 million bucks a year for 2 or 3 years, I'd be interested in him back on the Dodgers. I'm not interested in the Dodgers paying him when he's 42 years old. I'm not interested in him, you know, getting paid record amount of money to not really have that stamina. I really liked having Max Scherzer on the Dodgers this year. I don't get starstruck very often, but the couple times I saw Scherzer pitch in person and was down close to the field as he was warming up, like it gave me chills. I'm like, that's Max Scherzer, and he's wearing Dodger blue. Like, it's a cool thing. And I would like that to continue, but I think the price would have to be right. And I don't know if the price is going to be right because Scherzer will be coming off of a dominant season where he either won the Cy Young Award or almost won the Cy Young Award. And that is something his agent is going to use to say, look, pay this dude a lot of money and, you know, for a lot of years. And we'll see. You know, speaking of that same agent and wanting a lot of money, a lot of years, you got Corey Seager, who knows what's going to happen with Seager. Everybody's saying the Yankees. It's kind of interesting to me because, you know, yeah, Seager's a left-handed hitter and Yankee Stadium is good for left-handed hitters, but Seager's not really a dead pull hitter. And so it doesn't, like, it's not that much of a no-brainer to me that he would fit in at Yankee Stadium because he's kind of a gap-to-gap kind of hitter, not going to be pulling balls into the right. I guess he probably could adjust his hitting style, but and then the Yankees also this year had some issues with defensively challenged shortstops. And there are times that Corey Seager is a defensively challenged shortstop. At best, he was average this year. Basically, after he returned from his broken hand, he was an average defensive shortstop. Before that, he was well below average. And I still believe that there was some nagging injury, something lower body or something, nagging Seager before the broken hand, and the recovery from the broken hand allowed whatever the other issue was to clear up, and that helped him have better defense. But, you know, Seager is not a long-term shortstop, probably, at least not for a team that is really looking for an elite defensive shortstop. And so, you know, are the Yankees a good fit? I don't know. And if they're not, then, you know, if his number of suitors go down, you know, and then again, Seager falls into that category that Friedman was talking about of, you know, he's been a Dodger his whole career, his whole life. Since he got drafted out of high school, he's been a Dodger. And is he going to want to stay? You know, Maddie Seager, his wife, is very involved in the Dodgers Wives and Girlfriends Club. You know, they love their teammates, their friends here. And I think that's got to play some factor. But then, you know, the other part of me says, well, you don't hire Scott Boras as your agent if you're not looking to get as much money as possible. And so that's going to be a really interesting one. I would love to have Seager back for the right deal. You know, and I'm even fine with the Dodgers paying him like a shortstop, even if they know that he's not going to be a shortstop long-term. That's something the Dodgers can maybe afford to do that other teams can't. you know, look, we know you're going to be a third baseman, but we're going to pay you shortstop money. And it comes down to for how long, you know, but if there is the DH, you know, you can play him there sometimes, keep him rested, all those things. So I wouldn't mind a good 7-year contract for Seager at good money. And we'll see, but you know, if people are talking about $300 million contracts, and that would be, you know, either more years or more money per year, probably, than what I think the Dodgers are going to give him. Next on the list, Steven Souza Jr. Easy one. You know, I guess if he wants to sign another minor league contract and spend most of the year in AAA and come up in an absolute emergency again, great. But Steven Souza Jr. is not going to be in the Dodgers' major league plans next year. And then finally, Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor is kind of in the Kike Hernandez mold from last year, where he's been a utility guy, but it, you know, he maybe might want to go be a starter somewhere, but he might be comfortable bouncing around. And the fact is, he got plenty of playing time this year. He's going to get plenty of playing time if he stays with the Dodgers, especially if they add the DH. I mean, he's going to play pretty much every day. And if it's different positions and he's comfortable with that, you know, I expect him to be back with the Dodgers. You know, Chris Taylor is, he's one though. I mentioned how we don't really know what these players are thinking. Taylor, maybe the most of all, he's so introverted and inward, and you know, we have no idea what he's thinking. But we do know, he likes being a Dodger. His wife seems to like being a Dodger. And so, you know, it's going to come down to money, and I have a hard time seeing the Dodgers not re-signing Chris Taylor. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but it seems likely that he's going to be back. And then the last two, Joe Kelly has a team option for $12 million or a $4 million buyout, which basically means it's an $8 million option. And Joe Kelly for $8 million seems like a good bet if his arm isn't too messed up. We don't really know what his injury was in the NLCS. I assume the Dodgers know more than we do, but that's going to play into there, because they're going to have to decide on exercising his option when he's not healthy. And so that might lead to them declining the option, doing the buyout, and maybe trying to re-sign him for less. But, you know, I would like to see Joe Kelly back. I think he was a pretty solid reliever this year. And then the last question mark is Trevor Bauer has a player option. He's definitely not going to opt out of his contract because it pays him a ton of money. Hopefully that money will not be paid to him. He's definitely going to be suspended by Major League Baseball. We just don't know for how long. And that's, you know, that was a topic of conversation in Friedman's press conference. And ultimately all he really said was, once MLB makes a decision, then we'll be able to talk more about it. But until then, we can't say. And, you know, but he did kind of say it will have some bearing on our financial flexibility this offseason. So that's the Dodgers free agent list, and that's kind of what they're dealing with. And it's a big list. There's a lot of question marks. And, you know, hopefully the Dodgers will make the right moves. I'm confident they will. And, you know, but it's also up to the players too. You know, it takes two to tango. And all these guys, like Friedman said, have earned the right to be free agents and earned the right to somewhat control their destiny as far as where they go and where they play the rest of their careers. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll be talking a lot more about it all offseason as that plays out, as the labor situation plays out, all of those things. So be sure to keep checking out Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning. We love talking with you. And we're going to be doing it even during the off season. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Vince might be doing a solo episode tomorrow. We might be together. We're not sure yet, but for now, go ahead and make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects, where host Aram Layton is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available on all platforms. If you're not listening or watching Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, we would love if you added a day or two a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. Maybe they'll love the show as much as you do too. If you want to watch it on YouTube and you haven't before, check that out. Even if you're not really into the YouTube thing, you probably have a YouTube account if you have a Google account. So go ahead and subscribe to Locked On Dodgers on YouTube. That helps us out. The more subscriptions we have, the more people can find us naturally. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.